What is the Dark Web? The Truth About the Hidden Part of the Internet by Evan J. Rogers. Read by David Loving. Introduction. You may have heard of the Dark Web and all the bad and shady things about it. It would almost seem that the Dark Web is a crook's haven. You can find various illegal products and services there. Nothing is off-limits, from drugs to guns, and not to mention other unspeakable horrors that lurk within. Therefore, it would seem obvious that it should be destroyed and buried, since nothing good could ever come out of it. However, some might say that despite all of this, the dark web could offer a solution for one of modern society's biggest problems, privacy. Before we begin, I want to mention that this is a very difficult and complex subject. The information in this book is only meant to help you form your own opinion, so please try to maintain an open mind while dealing with this highly controversial information. That being said, let us begin. The dark web is infamous for how people can remain anonymous while browsing, thus giving them the freedom to do everything they want. Of course, when you combine that with society's current structure, it inevitably leads to highly illegal activities. Drug dealing is one of them. Anonymity, in this case, can be achieved by using the Tor browser, more on that later, and it is one of the keys to the dark web. Many people mistake the deep web from the dark web, and the two are often used interchangeably and incorrectly. So how are they different? There are three levels of the World Wide Web. The surface web, which is where most of us surf. This level has everything discoverable by any main search engine of your internet browsers. The things you can find include various household products, news, and other information from today's social media. Pictures of our meals or funny cat videos have some of us hypnotized and almost blinded about the real world. The surface web is also under constant surveillance from the government. While the dark web seems to be infinitely vast to many people, is merely a fraction of the entire internet, roughly 4-5% of the entire World Wide Web content. The deep web represents all the websites that are not found by ordinary search engines. The deep web consists of all the data behind firewalls, databases, business intranets, web archives, password-protected websites fall into the same category. The deep web is accessible, but requires something like a password-encrypted browser or a set of login details. The deep web is about 500 times larger than the surface web. The dark web, however, can only be accessed by using certain browsers such as the Tor browser, and it exists within the deep web. The content inside the dark web is purposely concealed. The URL is not as simple and understandable as www.websitename.com. It is more of a string of numbers and alphabets that ends in .onion. So how does the dark web come into being? How is it bad? Is there any potential upside to the dark web? Before we delve deep into the history of the dark web, we must first understand the importance of privacy, because anonymity is key in this story. Why is privacy so important? The dark web promises anonymity, and that is why it has millions of users worldwide. Maybe it does not seem as important to you because you have nothing to hide. However, following the incident with Edward Snowden and the NSA, as well as the more recent Facebook privacy controversy known as the Cambridge Analytics controversy, it became clear that privacy and anonymity are very important to many people. In fact, there's a photo of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg who has tape over the webcam on his laptop, which suggests that he too is concerned about his privacy, and so should you. In the middle 1800s, you didn't need much to have some privacy, just some locked doors, windows, and you were shielded from the outside world. Privacy was a gift that many people took for granted. With the advancement of technology in the form of computers and the internet, it has become almost impossible to shield yourself from the outside world, especially not with some closed doors and windows. Because the electronic device you are using right now to read this book is the window to the outside world. Even if you sit at home alone in your room, you are not really as private as you think. Your online activities are being monitored. This, however, begs the question, is it a good thing or a bad one? Even if you don't have anything to hide, there are still many other reasons why you should be concerned about your privacy. For one, it limits the government's power and that of private companies. If they know so much about every one of us, they can easily influence us in ways we could never imagine. Take private companies, for example. If they know what food you like, then you can expect to see advertisements for it whenever you browse the internet. They want you to buy their products, and the only way to do it is by offering convincing advertisements. In addition, your personal data could actually be sold to these companies. However, your personal data should not be treated as mere goods. More so, one could argue that you should be compensated if your personal data is sold. Still, you don't get a penny from it. The same could be said for governments. Politics is more of a popularity contest nowadays. Politicians need to know what makes the citizens happy so they can promise all of those things when, in reality, they know some of them could never be really delivered. Privacy is also about respecting each individual. Many people just want some privacy, and they should have it. It is outright insulting if anyone ignores that. Of course, there are important things that outweigh a person's privacy, but it should count among one of the last resorts to solve a problem. In Edward Snowden's words, he compared the situation to a person holding a gun to your head and saying, "Don't worry, I won't shoot, trust me." Although the U.S. government meant well when they wanted to have the ability to see into its citizens' devices in order to stop terrorist attacks, the message they're sending is different. This invasion of privacy simply shows a lack of respect for the individual, and it is like saying you care about your own interests, but not the civilians. Privacy also allows people to manage their own reputations. How we are seen and judged affect our friendships, opportunities, and well-being. Even if we cannot fully control how others see us, at least privacy gives us a chance to protect our own reputation against both falsehoods, but also certain truths. People are misjudged because they are misunderstood. However, knowing more about a person does not mean a more accurate judgment. In fact, many people judge very quickly and falsely. One great example of this was a TED presentation conducted by John Ronson. In it, he stated how simple it is for a tweet to ruin a person's life. He talked about Justine Sacco and how her tweet, which was originally meant to be a joke, caused an uproar that eventually ruined her life. What happened had, of course, nothing to do with privacy. But it showed how quickly people judge and jump to conclusions. They judge hastily, with hypocrisy, and often out of context. The only way to be protected in these situations is in the form of privacy. On a more intimate level, privacy is a sanctuary we could retreat to. All of us have social boundaries, both physical and informational. All of us just want to have a place to be alone and have some alone time. Having these boundaries allows us to determine how close you want other people to be. You draw the line, and everyone should respect it. Without these boundaries, there will always be awkward social situations, and every person has a certain way of dealing with them. Some can get over it pretty quickly. Others recur to alcohol, drugs, overeating, and even violence to cope with social traumas. You want people to know about you, but to get the chance to see the real you. Trust goes hand in hand with privacy. In any relationship, be it social or professional, one can never stress the importance of trust enough. If you do not respect a person's privacy, then you don't trust them. Some parents read their children's diary to make sure that they are doing all right. However, some children see it as a violation of trust. The same could be said for a government and its people. By violating a person's privacy, their freedoms of thought, speech, social and political activities become also violated. All of us behave differently when we are being watched. In other words, we are not truly ourselves when we know that someone is watching us. Even animals behave differently when there are people watching. In the most extreme scenarios, the government could attempt to control the citizens' thoughts by controlling the media output and the information flow for every individual. And let's be honest, such a case is all too familiar to most of us. It is a dystopian future that we all do not want to have. Without privacy, all of us would lose our individuality. When our speech and thoughts are monitored, we would become something akin to robots. All of us would just conform to certain standards set by the government. If they can monitor our thoughts, then they could just as easily brainwash everyone. Such a future keeps some people awake at night. Sadly, we are already well on our way there, starting with the loss of net neutrality, which puts an end to a free, open internet where all contents are treated equally. Certain companies can now control what you see on the internet, and if we do not do something soon, then things are only going to get worse. Privacy is such an important thing for many people. Unfortunately, it is currently being threatened. Something must be done because one privacy violation could lead to many more along the way. It must be protected. Our online privacy is at risk. But is there a place where we could all retreat to? A place where everyone can be truly anonymous? Does this sanctuary exist? Luckily, there is a technology that could protect our online privacy. It led to the birth of what is known as the dark web, and it has been with us for a few decades already. What is the dark web? With the internet's continuous growth in the mid-1990s, the society is transformed on a global scale. Among those changes, the biggest one is the rise of instant communication. If you have an internet connection, you could talk to pretty much everyone else across the globe, as long as they are also connected. By 2000, there were over 350 million users. Since then, another concern arose with the growth of the internet. The internet was not designed to keep the users anonymous. In fact, everything you say and do on the internet can be recorded and tracked back to you. While this seems like a sensible feature, since the police and other authorities could trace online evidence back to the perpetrator, however, some were concerned about their privacy. In the mid-1990s, the United States federal government was one of them. A group of mathematicians and computer scientists working for the United States Navy, known as the Naval Research Laboratory, NRL, started the development of a new technology that would allow for anonymous, bidirectional communication where the destination and the source could not be determined by a midpoint. Basically, the people working for the U.S. government created a system that allows anonymous communication over the internet. However, they quickly realized that, in order to achieve